Right now, though, we're going to go out to the phone lines. We're going to bring in national sports writer for CBS Sports. That's Mr. Dennis Dodd. Dennis, I hope you're doing well this morning. Let's jump right into it, man. You put out an article last night, Big Ten SEC in discussions over a landmark scheduling agreement. Tell me why there would be any downside to this, because as a Bama guy who watched them go up to Madison a few weeks ago, it looked electric. It sounded electric. Bama comes away with a big win. Seems like this would be a win for everybody.
There's no downside. I mean, unless I guess you're a group of five member, because this kind of signals further separation. But I think we all admit that now. Yeah, I think consciousness were elevated after Texas, Michigan, and Alabama, Wisconsin. We all know those games were on the schedule. But when some of these administrators saw what you just talked about, it's like, why can't we have more of this? You know, and we're the two biggest, best conferences. Let's just come together. And if people don't know, they were in discussions to do sort of a challenge non-conference series of SEC and Big Ten non-conference games throughout the season. I think the fans would love it. It would help those two schools, resumes for the playoff. Give them a good chance, not a good chance, but, you know, more reason to say, hey, we want three or four automatic qualifiers. Look what we've put together here. And it increased, like I said, strength of schedule. So it's a win-win-win.
Well, the other win for me, Dennis, hopefully for the foreseeable future, is the two leagues working together to keep the private equity out of college football. How long can – do they have to bring in the Big 12 and the ACC? Can they push this? Like, how long can they withstand the private equity coming into the sport?
Well, you're exactly right, and that's a big piece of this, in that they want to create enough revenue on their own that goes to them without having to deal with Super League, because I think this addresses that, and without having to go to a third party for money. Some of these other leagues or schools may do that, but I think that was a great observation by you. I think this is a big part of that. And the private equity piece, is, again, for people that don't know, private equity is money that is loaned over a period of time, but that company, that entity, whoever it is, then owns a piece of your company, quote unquote, and you have to pay it back at some point. So with revenue share and everything coming down the pike, this makes these two leagues more sturdy.
Do you think, Dennis, and by the way, visiting with Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, do you think, Dennis, that this kind of alignment between the Big Ten and the SEC eventually leads to a little bit less chaos in terms of the rules governing the sport? And I read your piece the other day on Chip Kelly, and he gave some great insight, right? I mean, it was like, basically, I put the practice schedule out, and then I asked people for money.
Yeah.
I think everybody, at least in the Southeastern Conference, would be in agreement. Like, we want a few more rules around these situations. Do you think that these meetings between the Big Ten and the SEC can eventually lead to a little bit more governing around the sport right now?
Yeah, that's a great point. In fact, people have kind of forgotten, and I was surprised that the NCAA Council at its last meeting last week didn't address this, but at least the four Power Four are sort of demanding from the NCAA a separate governance model. And within that four, along with the Big 12 and ACC, obviously you'd have the SEC and Big Ten sort of kind of running things. But it would just get rid of the minutia. You know, I talked to Greg Sankey in July at the media days in Dallas when I was writing about this particular subject. And I said, let me sum it up for you, Greg. You don't want a Division III president voting on roster caps. And he said, exactly. That's an out there example, but not too far off the truth the way things are going for decades in the NCAA. So there are unique problems for these two leagues and these four leagues that they would like to have for themselves to govern.
You mentioned Greg Sankey, Dennis, and I think bringing him up makes me remember the statement he put out yesterday about Kirby Smart and the shove of the Mississippi State quarterback. He basically said he should have been penalized. Should the league have done more to penalize Kirby Smart after the shove?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a hard one. I guess they could have fined him. I mean, it would have been symbolic, not anything meaningful, because we know how much Kirby makes. I guess that could have been the next step. But again, it wasn't Woody Hayes shoving the linebacker on the side of the field when he went nuts. And Kirby apologized. Kirby addressed it. I think it had maybe a 48-hour shelf life. I think it's over by now.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. We talked a little bit about it earlier. To me, it was like, you know, your buddy's talking trash and Madden. Maybe it's like an elbow shove, side shove. I'm not that worried about it. Hanging out with Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. Dennis, one of the conversations that continues to grow legs, I think, in at least some circles, is the conversation about the 4 seed in the college football playoff. And, you know, this has been kind of an interesting talking point. See some people on Twitter kind of pointing it out. That if chaos ensues in the Big 12, and remember, it's not the Power Four conference champions, it's just the highest ranked four conference champions, is there a chance if Army can find a win against Notre Dame and there is chaos in the Big 12, do you see a scenario where the college football playoff before the Army-Navy game puts an undefeated Army team in a conference champion in that 4 slot ahead of a Big 12 champion?
I suppose. I'm trying to, you know, they would have what? A win over one ranked team.
I believe you're right. Yep.
Do not forget that Miami, if they win the ACC, has a great chance of not playing a ranked team. So put them in that mix too.
Wow.
If Army runs the table, go look at Miami's schedule. They will not play a ranked team until the conference championship game, the way things are right now. So I think that has to be discussed too. So yeah, I mean, they could get a bye. I think it's fascinating to me where, I mean, this is a CBS dream. My company, they've got the traditional game after either Army or Navy possibly gets a CFP spot playing each other back to back weeks in the American Championship game. I'm all for it. I love the service academies anyway. I think this is amazing. These two teams, here, stump your friends with this one, guys. Guess which two teams this week are number 1 and 2 in passing efficiency in the nation.
God, I hope it's Army and Navy. I was going to say, yeah. I hope it's Army
now,
and Navy.
Small sample size, admittedly, but they are doing some things in the passing game that are making those things more efficient.
What do you, Dennis, what do you think about Texas-Georgia this weekend down in Austin? It's kind of a cool matchup that we get to see these two teams playing a meaningful regular season game. Can Georgia go to Austin and upset Texas? Because I tend to believe that they're the best team in the country at Texas right now.
I think they can. I think to start that discussion, you just have – I agree with you. I think Ohio State, Oregon, and Texas are the three best teams in the country. And in any given week, one can stand out. Oregon is standing out right now for the job they did. But I think Texas is as complete a team as you'll see. I think defensively, especially after losing Byron Murphy and the Sweat Kid at defensive tackle, who were all America, all Big 12 type players right in the middle, and they're probably better in the middle defensively, and they're down linemen, is a big indicator to me. And the fact that you can keep winning when your best quarterback may be on the bench. that may be the case with Arch. I don't know. Quinn Ewers is fine. He threw the interception early against Oklahoma and had a great game, but I think defensively is what separates Texas, because they always, since 2009, when they went to the championship game against Alabama, they would always have that, you know, have that flaw on defensively giving up big plays. They don't do that now. And the fact that they've lost 2 running backs for the season in the preseason, and they're still running the ball effectively. I saw them against Michigan live. I love what Steve Sarkisian is doing, and maybe he's been doing this for years, and it just dawned on me. They're running Bill Walsh's West Coast offense. They throw a lot to the tight end. They pick up ground yards, throwing to the backs, and those jailbreak screens on the perimeter, which a lot of teams do, but it's just little chunks. And then they go over the top when they can with Isaiah Bond, although I think he's hurt. So I really like Texas in this game. Not by a lot, but I do like him to win.
Yeah. It's going to be a good matchup this weekend. Dennis, we got about 10 seconds. I just want to ask you, has the SEC played itself out of Heisman consideration this year?
Let's see. Dylan Gabriel, Travis Hunter's hurt. Not yet. I mean, we still have a long season to go. I think anything's possible right now.
Anything is possible. You heard it from the man himself. That's Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports, man. Always appreciate you, brother.
All right. Thanks, guys.